Love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We take a closer look at the lessons today. Beginning at verse 15, Paul writes, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." Now, Paul had received a letter from the church in Corinth, and one of the problems they were having, they had many questions, but they were questioning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They said, did it really happen? Did he rise physically from the dead? And this is Paul's response. But question, do people question the resurrection of Jesus today? Yes. Furthermore, they question the very existence of Jesus. And people say it was just a myth. And because our postmodern society believes the truth is relative, they can believe it's a myth, and that's what they'll hang on to. But there's historical evidence to the contrary. Verse 3, "For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, and this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." And any gospel that's different is an incorrect gospel. He says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, that He appeared to Cephas, who was Peter, then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, who was His stepbrother, then to all the apostles. And last of all, He appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. And He appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road, but there were appearances of Jesus to Paul after that, where we believe Jesus instructed Paul. But the point is, the crucifixion, death, and burial of Jesus are historical facts. Both Christian and secular sources acknowledge that Jesus was a historical figure who suffered a terrible death and was buried. And furthermore, it's a historical fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Christ is risen. Bob Udley says, Paul's gospel summary is this. 1, Christ died for our sins. 2, Christ was truly dead and buried. 3, Christ was raised from the dead. 4, we know these are true because He appeared to many people over many days. In this letter, Paul states that Jesus appeared to over 500 people at once. Can 500 people hallucinate all at the same time? No. Would 500 people die for something that's a lie? No. But of this 500 people, most of them were tortured and died for Jesus Christ. And even the most skeptical historians will say that the greatest evidence is that these people were willing to die for the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Bob Udley says, Paul's emphasis in 1 Corinthians 15 is the historical reality of the resurrection. If one did not believe, there were numerous eyewitnesses to testify. Jesus was crucified in the mid-30s, and 1 Corinthians was written in the mid-50s. It's about 20 years. If you're a historian, do you know how accurate that history is? To have documents that close? Usually we're dealing with documents that are 100 years separated from the event. So in this 20-year span, many of the ones personally impacted by the words and deeds of Jesus were still alive and witnessing. Does that sound like a myth to you? No. It's a historical fact. So why did the Corinthians doubt the resurrection of Jesus? But more importantly, why do we doubt the resurrection of Jesus today? Because what? The lies of this world. That's right. The culture. The culture. We've bought into what our culture says. And we want to be politically correct to what the culture says. The Corinthians were caving into their culture, and many Christians are caving into the culture today in light of the historical evidence to support the resurrection. And primarily that's because people want to live the way they want rather than how God intends. But to give you an example, my cousin Patty, who I baptized in January. In fact, I baptized her niece also. But when the Passion of the Christ came out, she took her niece to the Passion of the Christ because she was hoping that it would open her eyes to Jesus Christ. And her niece said, "Sure, Aunt Patty, I'll go. I've heard it's based on a true story." That's our culture, right? We have a whole generation of people who don't even know that Jesus existed. Christ is risen. Today we have the same choice as the Corinthians. Do we follow the culture or do we follow God's Word? Hear God's Word on the death and resurrection of Jesus. And I'm going to start with Isaiah 53. This is written 700 years before Jesus was born. 700 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah writes, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. And we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and his sheep before its shears is silent. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of light and be satisfied." Sounds like a resurrection to me, huh? "By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life into death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Who is Isaiah writing about? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? 700 years before he was born. And he fulfilled this prophecy. Only God can do that, right? But Jesus himself prophesied on more than one occasion in Matthew 16, 21. "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Jesus knew. And he's fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. The resurrection of Jesus is a historical fact. It's foretold in God's Word and by Jesus himself. So why is the resurrection of Jesus so important? There's many reasons, but I'm going to give you three today. First, it validates everything Jesus taught and who he is. And according to Jesus' word, he is the Son of God. That's the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is God. Does a man make that claim? No. Jesus did. Jesus is the only person in the history of humankind to rise from the dead. And he predicted it would happen. More importantly, Jesus is God. John 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." I remember 30 years ago when I started reading the New Testament, and I started reading the Gospels. And I was reading the Gospels, and I got to the Gospel of John, and I said, "Wow, This Jesus thinks he's God. And then I read some more. And then I said, wow, his disciples believe he's God. And then I read some more. And then I believed he was God and is God. And it's the first time in my life I've ever had peace. And he's changed everything. He doesn't come in and just take, I'll take part of your life. Jesus comes in and takes it all. Because he loves us. Amen. Second, because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that if we live in a relationship with him, we will live forever with him. That means we'll have eternal life. Romans 6, verses 5 and 6. I should just have you quote it, all right? Right, Daryl? For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. In John chapter 11, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, who lives in a relationship with me, will live, even though they die. Now, I'm not a superman. I'm not a super Christian. Just ask Pastor Robin, okay? But as I've grown in my faith over the years, I'm not afraid of death. Because I know if I die, I know where I'm going. All right? And it's not because of me. It's because of Jesus. I'm kind of like what I like what Woody Allen says. He says, I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be around when it happens. Because it's going to hurt when this body shuts down, okay? But at the same time, we have that blessed assurance that we know that this isn't all that's going on, right? We have a future, a wonderful future. And this changes everything. Number three, we can have life here and now. Romans 6. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So life starts when we believe in Jesus. Right? And then it goes on forever. Right on. And that's what Easter is about. It's about life. Amen? Romans 8. I'm not going to go through the whole book of Romans, okay? And that's why I wanted you to be here so you'd smile. He was at the 7 o'clock service too. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because it is of His Spirit who lives in you. The Spirit of God lives in us when we live in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God dwells in us. And that's when we really start living, right? Because life without that Spirit of God, it's just empty, folks. It's just empty. There are many people today that look fine on the outside, but inside they feel empty. They're walking around with a hole in their heart. They lack meaning and purpose, wholeness and peace. People run around trying to fill this hole with all kinds of things so that they can start living. But in the end, they feel more empty than when they started. Augustine writes, and this is in the 4th century AD, Thou hast made us for Thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in Thee. In order to illustrate this point, what Augustine is talking about, I got a children's puzzle. And you see the heart here? This is our heart, right? And we try to fill this with all kinds of stuff, right? Maybe drugs, maybe alcohol, maybe sexual relations, Maybe money, okay? Diamond. Maybe diamonds, right, ladies? Okay. Or maybe a star. That certain somebody. We just know our lives are going to be perfect if we can just find that perfect somebody, right? Doesn't fit, right? And then this is just miscellaneous, whatever else, okay? Religion. There you go. This is a good one. Religion. Doesn't work, right? It doesn't fill the hole in the heart. That's an excellent one. Religion doesn't fill it, all right? But then you get Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And He comes to live in our hearts. And our hearts are full. And then you know what happens when you have Jesus living in your heart? All the other pieces start fitting in, okay? Relationships. And what? And you love Romans. No, that doesn't fit. No, that does fit. But your whole life comes together, right? And Pastor Perry and I continually counsel people. We say, just work on your relationship with Jesus Christ and everything will fall into place. And they'll say, oh, Pastor, no, I'll take care of it. Well, how's that been working for you? All right? We were created to have God live in us, right? And if we want a full life, we need to have Jesus in our hearts, right? Amen? And you know where this puzzle is going after today? Richie does. Okay. You're going to take it to jail. Okay. Christianity is not about religion. And Daryl, you're right. It's not about religion. And so many people think, well, gee, I'll come to church and that's good. I'm good with God. No, it's about living in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Christ is risen. And He lives. And He's in this building right now. When we accept Jesus, the hole in our heart is filled with Jesus. When we are filled with Jesus, we have joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, etc. But most importantly, we have Him. And life with Him is such a full life. It's such a full life. It's real life. It's a life with meaning and a life with purpose. When we live in a relationship with Him. Christ is risen. And now, I have a special person who's going to help me with my sermon today. I've had a chance to talk with Elena. Don't be too nervous, okay? And she told me, she's tried the religion thing, and she told me about what Jesus means to her. And she's going to say a few words about that right now. Elena, give her a round of applause. Please.
I've struggled with addiction for most of my adult life, and I've never been able to successfully stay clean, doing it on my own. And I've always been on this journey of I was miserable. I feel like I was just lost, and I gave my life to God, and I'm still learning, and ever since I've accepted God and acknowledged Him, He's shown Himself to me, and I can't help but acknowledge Him because there's so many things that such an impact on me, and I can't really explain it other than I have a peace inside of me, and all of these things these thoughts, I have anxiety really bad, all of these thoughts and things that are going through my head, I don't know how to ask the questions, I don't know how to form them into thoughts to ask, the questions I have. Well, Rick gave me a book that he wrote, and all these things that I couldn't even form to ask was in this book. And so it's just like, if it's not, it's just so many things. The first job I applied for, I got, and I've had it for 3 weeks, and I'm doing great, I'm excelling. Everything that I try to do is becoming, I want this story. But so I'm still learning. I still have a long way to go, but I'm grateful that, for one, I'm alive. You know, I've been given another opportunity, and I have two great people, you know, that have kind of taken me in as family, and I'm just very grateful, and thank you.
That's what Christianity is about. It's not about religion. It's about discovering this Jesus. And no, we don't have it all together. But as we follow Him and we grow in Him, the pieces just start coming into place. Right? Right, Cookie? Right? Right, Daryl? We don't have it all figured out. But in Him, He's got it figured out for us. And that's the key, is to live in that vital relationship with Him. Amen? And Pastor, do you want to lead us in a prayer, please?
You know, we look at so many lives that have been changed. Look in this room. Daryl, your testimony a year ago, last Easter. And thank you, Elena, for your testimony. And the story keeps moving on. And next year, who will it be? Maybe you'll reach out to someone that is living in total darkness this Easter, but by next Easter, their lives will turn around because you showed love to them, and they'll be the one standing up here. Someone you never thought would have their life changed will be totally turned around, and they'll give their witness. And then they'll give their witness to someone else, and then 2 years from now, someone else will come forward that never would imagine that their life would be better and brighter and happier and full of life, full of God. So I thank God for all of you as you encourage us that what we're doing here is worthwhile. It's worth eternity. It's worth the soul of a person, their very soul. And that's why we go to the jail. That's why we do all that we do. But it's not about us, it's about you. So what on earth are you going to do for heaven's sake? What are you going to do regarding so someone else can fill heaven, be in heaven? What on earth, while you're here, while you have a breath, while you have a life, while you have a day to call today, what are you going to do for Him who did everything for you? Are you going to live for Him or for someone else or for yourself? The only way to live is with Jesus, right? And you all know that. The total difference. And it just shines in your face. It's so neat that God has brought new life to so many people. And so today is not just Easter or not just somebody's birthday. It's also Thanksgiving. This is Thanksgiving. Thanks be to God, what He's doing in so many of our lives and keeps doing and will do, to have the faith that He will keep doing in our children and our grandchildren. And so we give thanks to God now. And whatever you want to say, you say, either out loud or quietly, for what you're thankful for. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for the churches in the Valley of the Sun that you would not, that they would not be discouraged, that this day would be a glorious day for many churches, that many souls would come to know you. And if there's anyone here that does not know you, Lord, that they would acknowledge that they're a sinner, acknowledge their sins, and simply ask you, Jesus, right now to come into their heart, to be their Savior, to be their Lord, and have a new life, and to follow Him. And we thank you for what you're going to do today, and we ask, Lord, for revival in this area. Lord, in your mercy. And we thank you, and we praise you, we celebrate you, in Jesus' name, amen.